each one separately, there are many holes, many weak points. There are many problems. The answers themselves create problems. Certain times, certain answers should be given, but let's go through the inyonim. Like, for instance, the classical approach to tzaddik veraloi is the approach, of course, mentioned in the Gemara. That's the approach, the Gamzu Letoivo approach. What is it, Gamzu Letoivo approach? That's the famous Gemara with Nochem Ish Gamzu, that when he was going to Rome with a certain present for the Roman emperor and he lost it, it was stolen, somebody replaced his present with sand, with a box of sand, Reb Nochem Ish Gamzu refused to return to Eretz Israel, because he said if it was replaced with sand, Gamzu Letoivo, it must be for the good. And he came to the Roman emperor, says the Gemara, and the Roman emperor, in the beginning they suspected that they are making fun of them, and then they said, no, it must be that sand used by Avraham Avinu in his fight against the Melochim. And they punted a war at the time, and they tried it, and it worked. The enemies just retreated. So you see, you know, Gamzu Letoivo, you see that he was right. What does it mean? What does the approach represent? It represents the idea that nothing is really Ra, which means that Ra doesn't really exist. It's only a perception. It's a distorted perception of something. But Ra doesn't really exist, right? Otherwise, how can you say Gamzu Letoivo? That Ra is really Letoivo. It seems to us temporarily that it's Ra. I always use the analogy of the person trying to make an airplane at a certain time, and he's going in the taxi, and the taxi is rushing, and all of a sudden he gets a flat tire. So of course at the time he feels badly. How can it be that such a bad thing happens to me? I'm going to miss the plane, I won't have the vacation. Then by the time they fix the tire, they start going, and then it's too late already to go to the airport. They turn on the radio and they said the flight such and such just crashed at on takeoff. So because of this idea, he says, wow, how lucky I was that I hit the flat tire, which means that the Ra really becomes, in retrospect, Toiv. That is the classical approach, that Ra is only a perception because we don't see the whole picture. There is a famous, yeah, you, somebody, yeah, you want to say something?
Exactly.
Now you are touching upon the weak point of this approach. Right? Yeah. So the weak point of this approach is that most of the times, since we don't see the Toiv at the end, right, so we remain with the feeling of Ra. So they answer, well, sure, because we have the distorted perception. There is a Hasidic approach also, yeah?
The marshal of the Rav gave us as a problem, because plane crashing, according to this approach, is no more or less of a Ra than it not crashing, or than so if he says, It was a toy because it saved you from the Ra. If you crashed, it also would have been a toy.
So, absolutely.
So in other words, you're caught from whatever side you're working at. You're not really answering anything. You're just sort of just pushing off the...
No, wait. It is an answer. And you are right. Meaning, your question doesn't take away from the answer, which means, let's say he would have gone on the airplane and he would have crashed, it also would have been Letoivo, except that he wouldn't have experienced the eventual Toivo. That's the whole difference, which means in this particular case he was lucky enough to experience the Toivo, and he was zoiche to clarify why it was the Ra wasn't Ra. Most of the times, unfortunately, we are not zoiche to clarify why the Ra wasn't Ra. There's a famous story also with the Rebbe Reb Zusha, that the Maggid sent people, you know, when they ask, Keshem she mevorchim ala toivo, mevorchim ala ro, and somebody asked the Maggid, there are different versions of the story, but somebody asked the Maggid, how can it be that you have to be Keshem, which means the same happiness that you have when you are mevorech ala toivo, you have to be mevorech ala ro. So somebody asked me, how can a person do it? How can you be happy to say Boruch Dayonemis, right? Mevorchim aloro. How can a person do that? So he said, go to the Rebbe Reb Zusha, you'll get an answer. So they come to the Rebbe Reb Zusha, and the Rebbe Reb Zusha was a person who his whole life was tzoris, problems, poverty, everything. So while they were staying by the Rebbe Reb Zusha, the Rebbe Reb Zusha says, you know, the Gemara says, Kishem she mevorchim ala toivo, mevorchim ala ro. Mevorchim ala toivo, I understand. Mevorchim ala ro? What can be wrong? There is nothing wrong in the world. Right? I mean, what can the Gemara mean, mevorchim ala ro? What is bad? I don't know. I mean, everything is good. Right? There's a man who never had anything to eat. He was always in sorrows, problems. That's the Hasidic story, which brings out exactly the same point, which means if you are the Rebbe Reb Zusha, you can sense in every Ra the toiv of it. Again, the same idea. Ra is just a matter of perception. Okay? Yeah.
If the Ra is a punishment, the same concept?
Meaning, the concept of punishment doesn't exist by us. Right? The idea of punishment is rectification, tikkun. Punishment for punishment's sake doesn't exist in Torah, right? Punishment in the sense of revenge, right? Society puts somebody in jail because the society is angry at the person and has to take revenge against the person. That concept in Torah doesn't exist. Oinesh is tikkun. Oinesh and tikkun is hainoha. So therefore, if it's tikkun, it's ultimately toiv. So if I sense that in the suffering there is tikkun, I'll be very happy with the suffering. That's what the Rebbe Reb Zusha meant. If you realize that in the suffering there is tikkun, then you'll be happy. It's the child who is at such a high level that when his father hits him, he's happy because oh, now I'm learning my lesson. Right? That's what they say about gedolim, that they appreciated when the father hit him because they were learning a lesson. If you're in a lower madrege, so you're angry at your father, which means again it's a matter of perception. Now, why do I say that there are lemaise, there are weaknesses? Because even though there are people who can live with this approach, and by the way, you know the Chofetz Chaim's, the famous Chofetz Chaim's moshul, how we answered tzaddik veraloi with a moshul. The moshul of the Chofetz Chaim, the same idea, the same idea. You tell me if it's not exactly the same concept. He says, I'll give you a moshul, says the Chofetz Chaim. You come to a shul on a Shabbos, right? And all of a sudden the gabbai gives an aliyah to this man, to the shoemaker, and to this man, and to the other man. And the rob doesn't get an aliyah, the important person, Talmichochem, he doesn't get an aliyah. So he comes to the gabbai, he says, what's the matter with you? Don't you realize that this is a Talmichochem, you're giving an aliyah to the shoemaker? So the gabbai, I don't understand. You just drop into the shul once, you have never been here before, and you start asking me questions. Were you here 3 weeks ago when that Talmid Chochem got Shlishi, and the Rov last week got this, and the shoemaker pumped his fjord side? So how can you ask me questions? You can only ask me questions because if you just drop in a certain moment of our shul history, you can ask me questions. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. We drop in a certain moment of history and we start asking questions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you do this? Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you do that? What do you mean? What kind of a question is it? Where you hear 1,000 years ago that something happened which makes what happens today exactly a rectification of what happened 1,000 years ago? Meaning we are lacking the perspective of history. So how can we ask questions? Again, what is the approach? That Ra is just a perception which is distorted, so how can we ask questions? The weakness of this argument is that it won't satisfy most people when they are asking the questions. Because for most people, their experience of Ra is so real that telling it, no, you're mistaken, it's only a perception, they will just ignore you, right? So the weakness of the approach is not in their emes, which is in the approach, because as we said, I mean, we can see it all over that this approach was used. But as an actual approach to answer questions to people who actually went through experiences of personal Ra, what are you going to tell them? No, it's not Ra, it's all in your imagination. It won't satisfy them. So sometimes every once in a while you can say it. For instance, somebody lost a business deal or somebody failed a test, so you can tell them, listen, in the long run it could have been better for you. You didn't get to medical school. Fine, in the long run it may be a favor to you. I mean, you can use it every once in a while. Again, I'm not saying that the approach is wrong. The approach is true, except that you can't use it because it won't satisfy people. So there are other approaches. You know that the Sefer Iyov basically is all, it turns around the question of tzaddik v'raloi, right? The main Iyov was a tzaddik gomur, and the Novi testifies, right? That he's a tzaddik gomur. Ish tom v'yoshor yorei Elohim v'sor miro. What can be better than that, right? The Gemara says, Godol mashenemar be'iyov me'mashenemar be'avrom avinu. Ish tom v'yoshor yorei Elohim v'sor miro. And he suffers. He loses his wealth, and he loses his family, and he loses his health. Everything is taken away from him. And his friends come and try to give him consolation by justifying why he's suffering. So again, I'm thinking that the approach of the Malbim, what each one said, because from the words themselves it's very, very difficult to derive, to draw out what they are saying. So the first one said, you know, Iyov, why you are suffering. You are suffering because you must have done something wrong. Obviously, if you didn't do anything wrong, Hashem wouldn't be punishing you. You must have done something wrong. You just didn't realize that you did something wrong. So, according to the Malbim, what Iyov answers is, if the whole idea of punishment is a lesson, like we said, a tikkun, so if I don't know what I did wrong, then what purpose is there in the punishment? So he couldn't accept the argument that the reason why something wrong happens is because he did something wrong that he doesn't know. Right? If he can't learn the lesson, so what purpose is there in the suffering? He doesn't see any purpose. So the next one comes, and he tells him that in reality Hashem is giving him, is causing him to suffer in order leheitiv lachrisoi, that afterwards he should give him more rewards, right, either in the world to come or in this world, whatever it is, which means that Hashem sometimes makes people suffer, again, because eventually it's going to be good. And Iyov rejects this argument, and he says that all this suffering for him, he's according to the Malbim, comes out like he's moichel the goodness that will come out in the future. Meanwhile, he loses his whole family, loses his health, his wealth. Nothing is worth it. So he rejects the argument. And the third one says that you can't ask the question because you think that Hashem pays attention to you. You are too small, which means your suffering isn't important enough in the scheme of things, in the big plan of the world. How can you ask a question, why am I suffering? Who do you think you are? You are insignificant. And again, Iyov says, what do you mean? Hashem created me, I am significant, and I am important. Yeah.
The second answer is a totally irrational answer. It amounts to a person suffering from a terrible illness saying, look, I'm moeful on the operation that will save my life because I can't take the pain at the time of the operation, which is poshut stupid.
You mean Iyov Steiner? You mean Iyov Steiner?
Yeah, the second time it's poshut, not defies the safer.
Because you are saying,
I can't take it now. It's kedai lacha, you can't take it now.
Yeah. What about if it gets to the point? Right, what about if it gets to the point that the person feels that he came to the end of his capacity to take something? That's exactly the attitude. What about if you come to such a getter, like the Gemara says, exactly, it's a perfect analogy.
The Gemara touches that up to mean not that.
That what? Punkt fakel, exactly, that's exactly the optize. Loyhem v'loyshchora means, right, that I can take it. They are Isurim Shalavo. That's exactly what the Gemara means. There are Isurim Shalavo. Remember, if it's Isurim Shalavo, like the Gemara says, Isurim Sheyeshbo and Bitul Torah, that's not Isurim Shalavo. But when they are Isurim Shalavo, there are Tanoim who say, I'm Moichel. Right? Isurim Shalavo, which means Isurim that will bring you more good later on. The Tanoim many Tanoim say Loihem veloi Shvoron. I just can't take it. That's Yov's attitude. There is a point where you break. You just can't take it. You just come to the limits of your capacity to take the Ra. At that point you say Loihem veloi Shvoron. That's exactly what Yov is saying.
I'm better to judge my capacity than the average.
No, I just can't take it, which means I know myself. No. It's not that I don't believe that the average is going to give me more than what he's giving me now. I believe it. It's not that when the Tanoim say, right, Loihem veloi Shchoron. You hear the Gemara. The Gemara says that some people get Yisurim Shelavo, which means God loves them. And the simple interpretation is that God wants to give them more later on. And the more they can take the Yisurim now, the more they'll be able to take on reward later on. Right? And many Tanoim said, Loihein veloi Shoron. Don't do me favors, Hashem. Don't give me the Yisurim. Don't give me the Avo later on. I just don't want. What does it mean? Are they saying, I don't trust the Ribbono Shelom will give me more than what is taking away from me now? Chas v'sholem. What they are saying is that it's beyond my capacity to take. Right? That's exactly what Eov is saying. So there is such a gather as saying, that's it, God, just don't give me any more. I just can't take it. That's what Eov was saying. So subjectively speaking, it is a good argument. You are objectively speaking, of course, it's ridiculous. I mean, you are arguing with Hashem. Hashem is telling you that it's better. Right? But subjectively speaking, he can be the judge. If he says, I can't take any more, Loihem veloi Shoron. That's exactly it. Then at the end, so there is a Liu, somebody as a young man who comes and he just destroys the whole argument of Eov and of the three friends that come. And at the end, Hashem himself appears. And Hashem makes a few statements, like for instance, Horishoin Odom Toilad, were you born before Odom or Rishoin? In other words, do you know everything? And all kinds of arguments of this sort. Do you know the greatness of Hashem? I mean, who are you to argue, Eov? And at the end, Eov just says something like, Hamishma Oizen Shmaticho, it's true, up to now I only heard about you, about Hashem. Ve'ato einai resinavis, and now I experience Hashem so closely. So that's it. The question disappears. Nobody knows what the answer is. So the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim goes through the whole thing. But the Ramban says, you know what Eov was saying? Eov was saying that he understood because Hashem did give the answer. When Hashem says Harishon Odom Toilad, he was telling him Soid Hagilgul. That's what the Ramban says. The answer to Eov's question is Soid HaGilgul, which means that we have a distorted idea of our own identity. You hear this approach? Which means we think that I am I. So therefore, if the Yisurim, if the Ra doesn't fit into my life, I don't see why I should get this Ra because I didn't do anything that bad. That's because I don't realize that I am not just I. I am somebody else who lived maybe 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. So therefore, since I have that distorted idea, I can have the question. But once we accept the Soid HaGilgul, says the Ramban, then we have no more questions because the question ceases to be valid. That's the approach of the Ramban and the Balei Kabbalah. Yeah. What do you mean? No. Once we accept, not that we know it. Once we accept the Soid HaGilgul. He didn't know what Soid HaGilgul. That's the point. That's what the Ramban says. That what Hashem tells him, he's megale to him the Soid HaGilgul. What do you mean? Why Hashem? And not who? Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. According to the Ramban, that is the mokor. Remember, Eov was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, according to one sheet in the Gemara. Eov was written to Moshe by Moshe Rabbeinu to answer the most important question that bothers a Jew, tzadik v'raloi. So the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving is the Yisoy, which means from Eov we know Soid HaGilgul. Right? I'm telling it to you because Hashem told it to you. It's only Hashem can know it. Nobody knows it himself. only Hashem has to say it. It's a secret that only Hashem knows. Once he told it to us, we know it. Right? But that is the idea of the Soid HaGilgul, which means that we are not necessarily, like the Balei Kabbalah call it, Neshomois Chadoshois. We are not necessarily new Neshomois. We have been here and we have experienced things, and everything which happens to us has some kind of a parallel to something which happened to us before, and it fits in to that total life of ours. And our partial life is just, like the Chofetz Chaim says, it's just one short part of the total history of my real self. Right? That is the answer of the Balei Kabbalah, the Soid HaGilgul. Okay. You are right. You are right. But Soid HaGilgul has an appeal to certain type of people. For instance, I mean, it sounds funny, but in places like Los Angeles, right? I don't know why. Is anybody here from Los Angeles? Yeah? For some reason, they have a tremendous sense for the occult, you know, for the Kabbalah de Yisoidos. So such a Yisoid, a Soid HaGilgul, in Los Angeles, just appeals. Do you know what I mean? There is a certain sense of the occult, of the non the things which go beyond the rational, the supernatural. It's part of it. In certain places where they are more closer to the rational, so of course this approach won't go over. But don't underestimate the koyach of the argument of the Gilgul. Right? I found people absolutely fascinated with the idea of Gilgul. Right? You know, when you speak about Gilgul, I mean, as a matter of fact, this idea of the combination, you know, that according to the Balei Kabbalah, Gilgulim can work on many forms. A person can be a combination of Gilgulim of different people. In other words, you can be like 80% one person. It's like there is a genetic code of Gilgulim. So you can be a certain person plus 20% of another person and a certain percentage of another person, according to the Balei Kabbalah. And it can even be, according to the Balei Kabbalah, that the wrong Gilgul, right, can attach itself to the wrong person, and then you have the dibukim, that which have to be separated, right? So there is such a thing. Which what does it all show? Our distorted concept of our own identity, which means I think that I am I, and my history, my life started at this point and it continued. Not necessarily. My perception of my own life is that it started at this point, but my life is just part of some long, long history, and I'm just part of it. So therefore, I have no right to ask the question. Again, it's not really an answer, but to certain people, it will take away the sharpness of the question. Yeah, does somebody want to say something? Yeah.
How are you giving a different answer to
the Tikkun?
Really the same answer. It's just sort of telling you a little mysticism, make people.
You mean it's the same approach as the Purcell, as Gamzul and Toivo?
Just making it sort of mystical so people won't question.
But it's more, which means you don't have to find the answer in your lifetime, right? Which means. Gamzul and Toivo tells you that it has to be, I mean, according to. If you are high enough, for instance, if you would search, you would find the Toivo even within your lifetime. Like Nochemish Gamzu, we are not at the level, so we miss the Toivo. According to the Soid HaGilgul, you don't even have to do that. You just have to realize that your lifetime is just one little episode in the real length of your life. So memele, it just makes even less sharp the question, but the approach is the same. The approach is that the whole thing is tikkun, right? And therefore, in the long run, it will all fit in. And therefore, your question is no question. There is a similarity to this approach. That's what I'm telling you.
Is this approach to say that a person can suffer for something that they didn't really deserve?
Sure, except that who is the they? I said, of course. But who is the they? I didn't do it. To say I didn't do it, it's like saying, how can my right hand go to jail when I only killed with my left hand? But if your right hand will get a distorted sense of its own identity, right, that the right hand is separated from the left hand, it could ask the question, how can the eye of today suffer for what I did yesterday? It was a different eye. But if it's all one, then the question is not valid. The moment we accept the Sarit HaGilgul, then the eye of two generations ago is the eye of today. The fact that I have a distorted concept of my own eye, that's my problem. But but really, it's all one. But so the Sarit HaGilgul is the same approach as Gamzu LeToivo, but it makes it even less problematic. Now, it makes the question even less valid, right? How could it be? What do you mean, how could it be? Who are you? Right.
The problem still remains at a certain level, because the person, if you talk to Gilgulim, and you could be talking a single neshama which is broken up into an infinite number of parts, there are all types of infinite combinations which are, so the person is being punished for something they can't possibly, unless they are a very big makubal, unless there's no possible way for them to relate to the wrong that was done. So no matter how much right they do in this existence, it's impossible for them ever to relate to that specific nekuda of ra which they're getting clapped for. So again, how do you make it, how do you bring it down in such a way so it would end up with the EO problem of, listen, if I don't know what it is, what are you telling me? Same thing. You did something wrong, you don't know what it is. This person's in the same problem. You did something wrong in the 11th century. Yes, no idea. No, what do you, what, so how do you...
You know, as you are saying, but, you know, it's my memory is so important. In other words, what you are saying then, that if a person has amnesia, then it's not fair to punish him of what happened before he had the amnesia? That's what you're saying.
I'm saying that if we are talking about punishment as something to direct a person,
right,
the person is supposed to be instructed,
yeah,
for punishment towards a specific goal, not a general goal,
yeah,
not just to get a clap, but to work to, then what really, the person has no access whatsoever to correcting that part of himself.
You're absolutely right.
And therefore, the punishment is, yeah, lacking in its instructive quality.
Absolutely. But that is only Eov's question before he knew Sarit HaGilgul, right? Once you know Sarit HaGilgul, there are other inyonim. There is an inyon of tikkun, which means that specific pain will cause a certain tikkun without anybody being aware of the direct lesson derived from the ra. You understand what I mean? Which means Eov, who did not know the Sarit HaGilgul, took oinesh, punishment, only as a direct instruction, as a lesson. If I don't understand it, it's ridiculous. It's absurd punishment. What about once you accept Sarit HaGilgul? Then punishments become tikkunim that don't need to be direct instructions. Which means the question of Eov is only valid as long as his lifetime is the end all. It's everything. Once you accept the Sarit HaGilgul, of course that destroys the argument of Eov. Okay?
So the chazal, which is a person has discerning, should look into his nisim.
Yeah.
That's a first level approach. And when that level is exhausted,
what?
Then a person has to move from there to a biblical approach. When you're dealing with a roivam, are you saying, do we skip over the primary approach? Dealing with a group of people in Los Angeles, and they're all excited about biblical. Meanwhile, they are machalo this, machalo that. There are millions of affairs in Lashon Hara and everything else that plague everyone, not just them. But it's as if we're sidetracking a primary type of approach to a secondary approach.
Well, you mean the primary is Yifashves Bemaso, cause and effect of his own sin.
For most normal people, I don't know if at least in my life, I don't have to look towards Gilgulim to get to see problems. I don't have to go that far back. But when this constantly being presented to a community, yeah, or in a, you know, I'm not talking in a one-on-one, but being presented as an idea, do you short-circuit this and move right towards guilt?
Definitely. Well, sometimes, but I'll tell you why you short-circuit the first approach immediately. Because everybody had an experience, right? You can assume 99% had an experience of basic unfairness. Now, the question of Tzadik Veraloi assumes that every person has seen in his lifetime that things just didn't fit. People who shouldn't be rich are rich. People who shouldn't be sick are sick, right? So, therefore, if you tell him, no, you know why there is evil in the world? Because we deserve it. That for sure will be immediately rejected. I mean, the question itself, Tzadik Veraloi, assumes that they know from their own experience that it's not so. You know what I mean?
So, did you address the problem of Russia with Toivoli in the same way?
Russia with it's exactly the same problem. Tzadik Veraloi is Russia with Toivoli, exactly.
Go back to your book.
Russia with Toivoli? Sure, I mean, Russia with Toivoli is. I mean, it, one of the. In other words, Gilgal approaches Rosh of the Toivloi as, again, the Rishus is only one episode of his life. So therefore, don't ask the question of Toivloi, even though there are other approaches to Toivloi, because he did something good in this lifetime. If you take on the story that Gilgal, you say, no, he did something good in the other lifetime. Right. Now, in these two approaches, of course, again, we are saying that we deny Ra. Right. We deny Ra. But there is another approach. The interesting part is that this other approach accepts Ra as a reality, but a reality with a purpose. And let me explain what I mean. This, the Maral in a few places talks about the existence of Ra. What does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says that that Hashem saw in Yom Hashishi Toiv Me'oy, that the world is very good? Right? What does it mean that the world is very good? Says the Gemara, Toiv ze hayetzer hatoiv, Me'oid ze hayetzer hora. That's a statement in the Yalkut Shimon brings it down right there in Brachos. Toiv is good. Toiv me'oid, that's ra. What does it mean that toiv me'oid is ra? Says the Maharal, that everything ze le'uma ze oso elokim, which means that Hashem has to create a balanced world. It's part of the creation of the world, that there are two sides to everything. Therefore, if he created oyer, again, that's the Gemara says, Vayom Hashem Yehi Or, Velachoshech Koroloilo. What does it mean, Choshech? Did he create Choshech? No. Eina Kodosh Borchu Metzarek Shmoy Lora. Hashem's name won't appear next to Choshech, because Choshech is evil. But Choshech is there because oyer is there. In other words, the moment oyer exists, so by definition, something which is not oyer has to exist. The existence of anything can only be conceptualized if there is something which is not that, which means if oyer would be our complete experience would be oyer, then we wouldn't even know what oyer is. We only know oyer because sometimes it's not oyer, so by comparison, we know what oyer is, which means that the moment Hashem created oyer, Choshech was created as a necessity for oyer. Okay. The same thing, Toiv and Ra. The moment there are gradations of Toiv Me'oy, there must be something which is not Toiv, which makes Toiv not Toiv Me'oy. Now, what is mixed in Toiv that makes it not Toiv Me'oy? Obviously something which is not Toiv. Do you follow what I'm saying? Otherwise, everything would be perfectly perfect Toiv all the time, right? And it wouldn't really exist. It has to exist only in comparison to something which is not Toiv, which means that the existence of Ra is a necessity of Toiv. As a matter of fact, that is what the Nochosh is. Otherwise, what is the Nochosh? The Nochosh is the concentration of Ra, right? Yeah?
It's not the simple understanding of the Ode. Ode usually means that there's something that's good and there's something that's even more good, but not that the more good is bad, the contrast with the good.
No, just the opposite. In other words, what could be the difference between Toiv and Toiv Me'oy? In other words, how can there be levels of Toiv, Toiv Me'oy, which implies there is Toiv Me'oy, Toivo Horetz, Meoid Meoid, and so on and so forth, till infinity. What can there be in Toiv mixed in that makes it not the next level?
The whole understanding would be not that there's something bad that is missing.
Don't call it bad. To call it non-Toiv. Is that a good word? Right? Non-Toiv. Not completely. You see, the Toiv has, in order to make it not the next level, has to have something mixed, which is purely not Toiv. Right? Of course, because if it has Toiv, then it's Toiv. Right? In other words, why should... Of course, that lack, right? That lack, we call it, fine, so call it lacking. I mean, it's a semantic problem. Call it lacking, so fine. So that which lacks Toiv, to make it not very Toiv, right? That we call Ra. You call it lacking, somebody else calls it positive, but it's a reality. Right? Meaning, Ra becomes a reality. And it takes on a shape, it takes on the shape of the Nochosh. The Nochosh is that Toiv Me'oi, the Ra which is mixed in. And what is the purpose then of the Ra? To make from Toiv, Toiv Me'oi. Right? If the Gemara says, Toiv Me'oi Zeh Yetzer Hora, it means that the purpose of the Yetzer Hora is to make from Toiv, Toiv Me'oi, because otherwise, without the challenge, then there would be no gradations. How can you become better? If you have to become better, you have to overcome something which is not good. This is the job of the Ra. The job of the Ra is to serve as a challenge to the Toiv to become more Toiv. Right? So, we have discovered two things. Number one, we have discovered that Ra is a reality, and we've discovered the goal of Ra, that the goal of Ra is to work for us in an indirect way. And the Maya.
If you go from Toiv to Toiv Me'oi,
yeah,
and then the idea would be, theoretically, to wipe out the Yetzer Hara completely in the first, the Tzadik Gomer and the David HaMelech, or those, that type of level. So then you're going backwards. In other words, in gradation, you go from Toiv to Toiv Me'oi, and then back down to Toiv.
Why?
Because you wipe out the Yetzer Hara at that point. So then you go back to...
You never wipe out the Yetzer Hara. You only overcome him. Libi cholol bekirbi just means that I have such a control of the Yetzer Hara that I'm completely on top. He can't move without me. Right? You know, he has reached a point where the Yetzer Hara is doing the best possible job, which is that I can control him. That, you know, he reached his goal. That's what it means.
When he talks about gradations, those gradations, what he talks about, and he's not making them up himself. They are coming from other places where there is such a phenomenon as a person living Chol B'Kirbi means simply it ceases to exist.
You mean by the Tzaddik as opposed to the Beinoni? You mean that right. Oh, fine, that means no, but no. What the Balatanya means is that the Yetzer Hara has a different level. He has a different job. He does not mean, right? Meaning, you know the Balatanya is a famous Balatanya that he says that anybody who struggles is a Beinoni. A tzaddik doesn't struggle, right? That's a famous, tremendous, a chiddush, you're saying from earlier, it's a tremendous chiddush, it's a tremendous breakthrough, it's a novelty, that a tzaddik doesn't struggle. But he doesn't mean what it sounds normally, that a tzaddik, everything is just smooth sailing. He just means that his struggle is at a level that in our perception, that's not even called a struggle. That's what he means by that. He doesn't mean that a tzaddik doesn't struggle. But he struggles at a level that to us, it's not called a struggle. But which means that his Yetzer Hara is at that level that we can't even perceive it as a struggle. But he does not mean that he's smooth sailing. Okay? And so maybe someday we'll... Yeah. That's exactly the point. When the Yetzer Hara will finally do his job. Let me just clarify, because this Yesoi, the Malbim says it in the beginning of Eov. It's interesting. Because in the beginning of Eov, it says like this. How does Eov start? The scene is the Ribbono Shel Olam talking to his cabinet. So, right? The Malochim are coming. And Hashem says, so what did you see in the world? And who is there in the cabinet of Hashem? The Gam HaSotan B'Soicho. Right? That's what it says, how it starts. As the Malbim, what is the Sotan doing in Hashem Yisborach's cabinet? Isn't he the antagonist? You hear? Isn't he on the other team? What is he doing in God's team? You hear? So says the Madden, what do you mean? The Satan is on our team. He just works in an indirect way for the same purpose. That's why he's Gam HaSotin, because he doesn't work with the same method. He works by increasing the anti-good so the good can become better. But his job, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam should be a Melech HaKol Haaretz. That is his goal, but indirectly. But without him, that would never happen, because there would be no Bechire, and there would be no challenge, and there would be no overcoming. Yeah. The same idea. In other words, the purpose of Ra is Tov. Tov Me'od Zeh HaYetzer HaRa means that the purpose of Ra is Tov, which means Ra is our reality, and the purpose of this reality is that we should have a challenge. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to go up from one Madrega to the next year.
How does
this differ from the what? It's a different optics. It's a different view of Leiti Lachis. I mean, which means we are not denying the reality of Ra. But even more, let me go on. It's getting late. Because this Ra develops, as we are going to see. Yeah.
This works when the person himself experiences something that can push himself stronger. What happens when something happens to the person's family, or the person loses his son, and it happens outside of him, and therefore why, how does this push him?
Fine. Exactly. So that's where I'm coming to. Exactly. Okay. Good. Good. We are coming to it. That's exactly where we're coming. So where is this Ra, which is only a challenge? What form does it take as the Nochosh? That is the concretization. It's Ra, the idea of Ra, the Toiv Me'oid, that brought into the world a Nochosh. And you know, in the Meforshim, they say that Nochosh is Loshen Nichush, Menachesh, Machshovo, which means that by Odom Horishon, the totality of Ra was outside of him. You know, that's what the Meforshim say, external Yetzer Hora, which means nothing within him. It's external. What does it mean, external? It's a thought that crosses his mind. Nichush, Machshovo, Nochosh. It's a thought that crosses his mind. It took the form of a Nochosh, that thought that crosses Chava and Odom's mind. Okay? In other words, Ra is an alternative of action. I can do evil if I want to, but of course I won't. I'll overcome the Nochosh. Okay? Therefore, the moment Odom Orishon ate the Eitz Hadas, right? At that moment, the whole nature of Ra starts to develop, starts to grow. And Ra, instead of being just an alternative to Toiv, becomes part and parcel of the human being. And even more. And Hashem says that from now on, right, Koitz v'dardar tatzmiach. What does that mean, Koitz v'dardar tatzmiach? Koitz v'dardar, that's Ra. Well, that's exactly. Ra becomes contagious. And when man becomes evil, by taking the alternative and making it into a reality, he spreads the evil to nature. And therefore, the same tree that's supposed to give you apples will give you thorns. What is that? That's evil. That's Ra. That is a distortion of the original plan. And that is Ra. But who caused it? Whose fault is it? It's our fault. Okay? It's our fault. And very important to saw it. So all of a sudden, Ra sees this to be just an alternative, a theoretical alternative. It becomes a reality. Once man becomes partially Ra, in other words, the way the Rambam puts it, the Yetzer Hora Mibachutz becomes the Yetzer Hora Mibifnim, which means the Ra becomes part of the nature of man, then the nature of man spreads to the nature of the earth. Like the Gemara says, Kishchis kol bosoret darkoy al oret by Dora Mabu, not only human beings became corrupt, animals became corrupt, but they have free will. Because Ra is contagious. And if we are bad, animals are bad, animals become distorted, nature becomes distorted, there is a Mabu, there are thorns, etc., etc. Now, this idea, yeah.
I think it's other things that were contagious, what they did to observe that.
just nature, the word deserve already loses its complete meaning. Because once it becomes a sickness, it becomes part of the law of nature, then deserving doesn't come to the picture anymore. It becomes part of the law of nature. Now, there are two sources in the Ramban, at least, that say clearly this idea. One is the Ramban's famous Chiddush, that even individually, at the time of Gilui Shechino, a person doesn't have to go to a doctor. You know the famous Ramban? A person shouldn't go to a doctor. Why, he says? Because what is a physical sickness? It's a flaw. A flaw, there is something wrong. If there is a flaw, there is a distortion. If it's a distortion, that means that there is something wrong with you spiritually. Go to the Novi, don't go to the Roife. Those are the words of the Ramban. Go to the Novi, don't go to the Roife. And it's 100%, even though the Ramban doesn't say it out clearly, when the Ramban says that Choto Avrom Chayt B'Shoyge, when there was a drought in Eretz Israel and he had nothing to eat and he came to Mitzrayim, Choto Chayt B'Shoyge. Nobody else says it, by the way. The Ramban is the only one who says it, that Avrom committed a sin by going down to Egypt. What do you mean? Can you be Soy Mechalanes? Sure, if you are Avrom Avinu, if you are at that level, right? It's not a ness. The fact that Eretz Yisrael produces fruits is not a ness, that's natural. The fact that there is a drought, that is a distortion. So you have to give in to the distortion. Don't give in to the distortion, fight it. So go to the, that's what I mean. When you are sick, go to the Novi. What do you go to the doctor for? By going to the doctor, you are just treating the symptoms, not the cause. You hear the Ramban? In other words, evil only exists because the world is imperfect. In a perfect world, there are no sicknesses. In a perfect world, there are no droughts. That is the Ramban. Okay? Now, the other Ramban, which clearly tells you this, is that other shocking Ramban that many people find it shocking, is the Ramban by Seir HaMishtaleach on Yom Kippur. You know the famous the Ramban, it's an incredible Ramban. The Ramban says, just plain and simple, you know, that when you read it, it just knocks you over all of a sudden. He says, you know what the Seir HaMishtaleach is? Right? You take a Seir, and you take two, right? And you make a girl. One stays for God, and the other one, well, another one, you sacrifice it to the Sotan. Because you have to bribe the Sotan. You have to bribe him. It's plain and simple. In other words, what is he describing? Let's call it by its name, Avodah Zorah. True? He says it, by the way. He says, the reason why it's not Avodah Zorah, I'll tell you an analogy, he says. The Ramban himself says, if the king is sitting here and somebody bows down to the minister, that is a insult to the king, right? But what about if the king tells you to bow down to the minister? Is that Avodah Zorah? Is that a lack of respect to the king? The king told you. The reason why bribing the Sotan is not Avodah Zorah, because the Torah tells you so. You hear? Now, he has to come out to this terrace to tell you why it's not Avodah Zorah, which means, in essence, it is worshipping another power. You are worshipping the power of evil, right? Except that Hashem is telling you to do it. What is the idea behind it? What is the idea behind it? Take on Yom Kippur and worship the Sotan, right? The idea behind it. I mean, it's clear in the Ramban. I mean, once you hear this and you go through the Ramban, you'll see it. Open. The Ramban is telling you that we have to realize. Remember, who is the Seir? The Seir is Esav, right? Seir. Right? Seir is Esav. Esav is the embodiment of Ra. Remember, the development of Ra didn't stop just with thorns, right? The development of Ra came to the point that human beings became polarized. It polarized human beings to Yaakov and Esav. That's how far Ra and Tov became realities in human beings. That Amalek becomes so totally Ra that there is no way that you can separate the person from his Ra. That the only way that you can uproot the Ra in the person is by killing the person. That's how far Ra is developed in the world, right? That is the polarization. Yitzchok Yishmoel, Yaakov Esau. That's the Koyach Hora. Okay? Now, the point is, whose fault is it that Ra developed to such an extent that people became totally Ra? Right? And that nature became Ra, and there are things that happen in nature, sicknesses which are terrible. Whose fault is it? We allowed Ra to develop. In other words, by feeding Esau, we feed Esau. How do we feed Esau? Through our Averis. We do Averis, we feed Esau. Every time we do an Avera, we are feeding Esau. On Yom Kippur, we have to become aware, we have to realize that we are feeding Ra. Don't blame God, blame yourself. We are creating Ra by feeding Esau. In what way do we express this idea? We take the Seir and we take it to Azazel. Azazel is that power, Az. And with the ending of Aleph Lamed, which represents a divine power of evil that we are feeding to represent, to give us an idea of our responsibility. Do you hear what the Ramban is telling you? The Ramban is telling you, evil, that's a reality, evil. But whose fault is it? It's our fault. We are constantly feeding evil. When we will stop feeding evil, evil will stop, will starve to death. So sicknesses will disappear and Ra will disappear. Everything will disappear. In other words, all of a sudden we have a new insight into Ra. Ra has a purpose, really, right? The original Ra. When Ra was just an idea, it had a purpose as an alternative to Tov in order to make from Tov something better. What did we do with this alternative? We started feeding this alternative. And we made it into a reality. We took the Yetzer Hora Mibachutz, which is just a theoretical passive alternative, and we made it into a reality within ourselves. And from ourselves, it went into nature. And from nature, it went into people and made the people essentially Ra, not partially Ra like they were originally. All in all, completely Ra. This is how far our power to control Ra is. We control Ra. The Ribbono Shel Olam withdrew from the development of Ra. He allowed us, through our free will, to feed the Ra. So, when there are terrible things which happen in the world according to this approach, and we ask the question, why Ribbono Shel Olam? The Ribbono Shel Olam asks us back, why? Why did you keep feeding the Ra to allow these terrible things, these earthquakes in Armenia to happen? It's your human being's fault. Okay? So now, of course, this is a collective approach to evil, which means that doesn't answer the individual question, why him and not him, right? But the idea of evil, how can it be that in a world created by Hashem, evil should exist? This is a perfect answer. And according to the Ramban, that is the emissary answer. This is the answer. Evil exists in as a reality because we created it. We created the monster, and then we complain. How come he bothers us? Okay? Yeah, sir.
Wait, it's not an evil that's created in the world.
Of course. I mean, what else is it? You know, it's our avarice create the situation, right, that people die. That's evil. Death is evil. Right? Death is evil. Death is nature controlling the human being. In a perfect world, there is no death. Right? What is death? Death means that eventually, remember, in the beginning, nature is completely subservient to men. Before there are koitz v'dardars, right? Before there are thorns. So what is nature? Something which serves men by 100%. It doesn't do anything against men. True, that is the original state of nature, right? This is why Odom Orishon Koide Machet has to be immortal. How can he be vulnerable to the Sotan, to the Malach HaMoves? It's impossible. Being vulnerable to the Malach HaMoves is giving into nature. Nature overcomes you when a person dies. You know what I mean? So therefore, death is created by sin. Death is created by our own flaws, by our own transgressions, our own avarice. We created it. Now, don't blame Hashem for death. It's our fault. Okay? It's something which God, of course, the plan is developed by Hashem, but he never told us to use that. He only used that, he only gave it to us as an alternative that we should overcome. Who told us to give in to that alternative? He never told us to do that. He told us not to eat from the Yetz Hadas, and we ate. Do you hear this approach? Yes, somebody else? Yeah?
Yeah, how is taking this here, how is that in Avodah Zarah?
Giving it and bringing it to the Azazel, and you are serving the powers of Azazel, which is a divine power, right? The power of Esav. That is the Avodah. That is the Avodah, right? That's what we are doing. We are bribing the power of Esav, which is a destructive power. This is why we join him in the destruction. He is the power of destruction, the power of Churban, right?
Why wouldn't Yom Kippur be the time to go away from that?
No, just the opposite, to take responsibility. Yom Kippur is the day when we have to take responsibility, right? Remember, Yom Kippur is the day when Hashem says Solachti, after the Egel Hazov. Why? Because we are supposed to take on responsibility. Hakoras Hachet. Hakoras Hachet means recognize that Ra happens in the world because it's our fault. That is Yom Kippur.
Why can't we take on responsibility and stop recreating the Ra at the same time? Stop serving the Avodah Zarah.
Exactly. That's our goal. But
by having the Seir, yeah. Don't serve it to Azazel.
The idea is, what will teach us, what will bring out the point that Ra exists in the world because we feed it? Right. By doing it, by bringing the Korban to Esav, it clarifies in our mind, this is what we are doing all the time. We are constantly feeding Esav. The Yom Kippur Hakrovo, the Korban, so to speak, the Azazel, is just the act which just brings out the point that we are constantly feeding Esav. But the Yom Kippur, it's Hashem who is telling us to do it, right? In order that the lesson should become clear. So therefore, Chas v'Shalom, it's not an Avodah Zarah. But it is an Avodah Zarah, but it's an Avodah Zarah that Hashem allows. That's what it sounds like from the Ramban. It's an exception to the rules of Avodah Zarah. Amazing, shocking. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing as the real answer to Daniel earlier was, this is Yivash Mishmasa. It's only a person. Since you created the evil, 100%.
You are 100% right. The real meaning of Yifash Veish Bemaso, right? The real meaning that sin causes Ra, right? Is not that a specific sin causes a specific Ra. The world is not that clear anymore. We are living in an era of Esther Ponim. Nothing can be so clear, right? Only a Novi can make a direct cause and effect relationship between a specific Ra and a specific sin. Only a Novi can do it. Who else but a Novi? Or, if there are specific things that the Gemara tells us that you should know, if this and this happens, it must be like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Betzoires, if this and this drought happens, it must be that the Maestres, it must be that this went wrong. Fine. According to our Kabbalah, there are certain cause and effect relationships. Fine, we'll accept it. But in general, what?
We're told to see if I didn't give someone a lift, and I know that I didn't get a lift next time. So I should.
Fine. But you see, you have to understand. You have the obligation to connect them. But if I ask you, are you 100% sure, right, that the fact that you didn't give the lift to that person is the cause for your suffering in the middle, in the middle of the snowstorm that nobody picks you up? Are you sure? I'm not sure. How can I be sure? I know. Did Anobi tell me? Did Hashem tell me? I don't know. I am obligated to make the association in order for next time, yes, to give somebody a ride. You see, not that I am obligated to be certain. I am never certain. Only the Novi is certain. I said, I am obligated to work at myself and use that as an incentive, but not as a certainty, only a Novi. Right?
But again, the concept of rise incentive only works with a person who is holding by a vision of Ra and Tov and movement towards good or movement
right.
towards bad. If you take, we take a classic example of Holocaust where you have people who were totally removed from Judaism as Jews facing enormous Ra, where in no way were to rise to that challenge, you would have to be a person of great substance, let alone a person who was maybe had been assimilated inside German culture for I don't know how many generations. So this argument, how does Ra in sense of work for a person where the Ra is so much bigger than the person that all it can do is crush him?
Fine. I mean, you mean so personally? You mean in certain situations it just won't work?
Just won't work. In many cases where the rod crushes the person.
You're right.
No possible work for the
person. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
this was anything.
This we're saying again. We are not saying that the Ra is the sibo, that the avera is the sibo for the Ra. Right. We are saying if you are capable of using the Ra as an incentive to rectify the avera, do it. It's not a certainty that one is connected with the other. But the real meaning behind Yefashvesh Bemaso, Ein Yesurim Beloy Chet, right? That's we know that there was one thing about Ein Yesurim Beloy Chet. What does it mean? It means that if something happened, if there is an earthquake in Armenia, our actions can change that, can guarantee that there should be no more earthquakes. It does not mean that you can make a direct cause and effect relationship. Because the people in Armenia did such and such, they deserved it. The world is too, it's not so perfect anymore, right? There is no Gilui Shechina. The more Hester Ponim you have, the more concealed Hashem's face is, the less you will be able to find directly the cause and effect relationship. But one thing is for certain. In a perfect world, there would be no more earthquakes. That is the certainty of us. In other words, what it does, what this approach does, and it takes away the sharpness of the question towards Hashem, right? And the question is turned towards us, right? And all of a sudden, we have to take the responsibility for evil. Collectively, of course. If this far, we are going to the collective approach. And again, yeah, the whole idea is, again, the second parsha of Kriya Shema. What does it mean? Right? Hear how direct the connection is. If you listen to the mitzvahs, everything will be perfect. If you turn away from Hashem, is that a fact? 100%, it is a fact. It's a fact that in a perfect world, if we will all people in the world would be shoymei a mitzvot, then nature would be 100% faithful to us. In other words, nature is as faithful to us as we are to Hashem. That is a fact. That's what the second portion of the Kriya Shema tells us. If we are perfectly faithful to Hashem, of course nature will be 100% faithful to us. No deaths, no sicknesses, no earthquakes, no floods. We turn away, the distortion starts. How far the distortions will go? No end. The more evil, the more distortions. And part of the problem of the distortion is it takes away the clarity of the connection between evil and its cause. You hear? Part of the problem of the distortion is that it takes away our means to make the connection, and it takes away the clarity, and it becomes choshech, and then it becomes like a vicious circle. It becomes even more difficult to see the connection, and that makes it even easier for me to sin more, and that will bring even more evil and more darkness, and it can take me to the depth of choshech. Yeah.
So when you try to relate this to a personal level, we become rabbanim, and many questions come up with us. Then the person throws up his hand and says, look, if it's nature doing this to me because I try to eradicate evil in my life, but that doesn't help because there's still many evil in the world, and no matter what I do, it's from my own life, it's still going to hurt, it still might hurt because there's still evil in the world.
100%. 100%. At that point, when people reach that level of understanding, because remember, this approach has already taken away the burden of Ra from Hashem's shoulders, remember what you have to do, and you put it on our shoulders. So now the question is, what can I do in a world that's evil to change things? Right? So then we come to the second point, the mutual responsibility. In other words, can I have an influence or can't I have an influence? Right? But then the subject changes completely. Then the subject changes to the level of mutual responsibility, which is a subject in itself. It's an important subject. That was, how much influence do we have over each other, and how much each one is, has the potential to change the world. Right? That is a subject in itself. But you realize what you to do. The question already changes completely. In other words, of course it has huge as a side effect. I'll throw up my hand and say, listen, I can't work in this world. There is nothing I can do. I'll give up. Of course, that is the chance you are taking. But you realize that you took away the sharpness of the question. You took it away completely. The question becomes completely invalid at this point. The question is not towards Hashem anymore. It's towards us. Okay? Yeah.
Is the Krishna only speaking on a...
collective, of course. Or Shomoya Tishme'u. It's the collective. The masses.
Does it also speak to the individual?
No, it doesn't speak to the individual. The individual is approached by the first portion of the Kriya Shema. That's why it's in Loshen Yochi. Ro'afto es Hashem Elokecho. I mean, maybe in another opportunity we'll talk about the difference between the Parsha Rishon of Kriya Shema and the Parsha Shniyo. It's talking to two different people. Maybe we'll talk about it. Yeah, all right.